Oh, that's good. Thank you. This is going to be for a lot of Sundays to come, and I don't know if they'll all be every Sunday, but we started a teaching on words a couple weeks ago, and I had some cover charts with this, and I don't know if any of you got them or not. If you did, you don't need another one, but if you didn't, there's some here. And we didn't get very far into it, but last week Carl was here. But I talked about things like just some of the scriptures that pertain to our words. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And I remember making the comment that we're not called to ask God to move mountains. God has called us to move them and to speak to them. And it's our words that are involved. Laying claim for sickness and disease. I've had the uncomfortableness of being in a room where everybody tried to outdo each other with their sickness or their disease, and it was theirs because they kept claiming it. I said, we need to watch certain things that we say, because Jesus said, if you believe it, you'll have it. So you speak it, you claim ownership of it. So quit complaining about it and enjoy its fruits. And I use some examples, my arthritis, my diabetes, my allergies. And the person literally took possession of those and guarded them close to their heart so nobody would take it away from them. Yeah, I know, Jesse, that's kind of hokey. But people say that all the time. And we should be people that to use our words more wisely. And 7 of you asked if I would bring this back. Well, here I am live and in color, and hang on for the ride. Some of it's going to be funny, and some of it's just going to be rock solid about the importance of how we communicate. We can't have what we speak against. And now here's some other notes. Words produce after their own kind. Always remember that. Words produce after their own kind. If we continue speaking words of sickness, disease, and defeat, then that's exactly what we'll have. Jesus said we shall have whatsoever we say if we believe. But I followed that up with a footnote. I do not deny symptoms or existence of sickness or disease, but I do deny the right to exist on or in my body. Why? Because I now belong to God, and according to his word, Colossians 1:13, he has delivered me from the power of darkness and has translated me into the kingdom of his Son. He's purchased me with his precious blood, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. If this word is true and God has delivered me from the powers of darkness, sickness and disease didn't come from God. Where would he get it? Why do we pray in the so-called Lord's Prayer that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we hear there's no sickness or disease in heaven? Then why should we be so willing to accept it as part of our life? I don't deny symptoms. We all would be in agreement with that. But I deny their existence, the right to exist on my body. And I have to fight the same battle you do. Sometimes you might have to speak to something a long time, but it's better than murmuring and complaining about it and wallowing in it, because that's not going to get us anywhere. I'd rather fight it with what I know to fight it with and speak the words that I know to speak. And these things have a name. And you can call them by their name, but don't ever say my. Please, please. please learn. I remember saying, don't say the words like take care. When the person means well, but if you're really thinking about it, you're telling them to be filled with care. Take care. Jesus said, cast your cares. And remember at the end, I said, everybody say take care. And everybody said take care. And then I said, say cast your care. Cast your care. It takes the same amount of time. So that's a blessing. But you know what? On the way out of the sanctuary, two people said, take care. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And I said, who didn't hear those words? I thought my microphone was working. Usually I'm mild-mannered Clark Kent. I'm not a shouter, and I don't run and jump over chairs and stuff. But there are some real serious truths about these things, and I love to bring them because they're so helpful to us. God has equipped us so wonderfully with truth. And we can apply this every day of our life. That's what I like about our faith. It applies to every day. It's not an up and down. It's not just a Sunday. It's every day. These work. All right. What we say can open the door to sickness and disease. Oh, I had written a sticky note down and I didn't bring it. I asked the lady at the post office the other day how she was doing. She said, not well. I always get everything that's out there. I was trying to count all the things that I was aware of that were out there. And I would imagine, what a person that must just be in torment when they go to bed at night, wondering how all that came upon them, and yet they threw out the invitation mat. They threw out the welcome mat. And I told you we were going to have a lot of fun with this because I got a whole list of things that either we've said or heard say, but maybe need to rephrase some of these things. You see, what we say can open the door to sickness and disease, or what we say can close the door. We choose who our high priest is. All right, who's the high priest of your confession? All right. Things that you speak, okay? He's the high priest of your words. He is our go-between, between God and us. Part of that is he will confess to the Father what we say as long as it agrees with his word. Did you get that? If Jesus is the high priest of our confession, he's confessing before the Father. If we're saying stuff that's contrary to his will, the Father's going to say, Jesus, how come you're so quiet today? And he might say, because nobody gave me anything to say. If we pray in doubt and unbelief, Jesus will not go to the Father and say, Father, he prayed, but it's not working out for him. See, Aaron, you write down notes, I write down notes. When we pray that way, it will not reach beyond our lips and will not be answered. Satan is the high priest over words of doubt and unbelief. And you go around speaking those words, and guess what? They're going to come to pass because they're contrary to God's word, they're contrary to his will, and Satan's going to make sure that those words of doubt and unbelief are rooted in fear, and God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, and Satan will make sure that he can deceive you and give you what you confess, because Jesus is not the high priest of our confession of words of doubt and unbelief and fear and worry and all of that whole gamut. So, this is to think about. Think about it. Think about how you communicate. Think about how you speak during the week. Because I'm just reading the good stuff, but we have to take it and apply it. If we all realize, oh, I said something 6 months ago and it just came to pass, and it came to pass because I forgot I said it. Somebody told me it's like taking a pillow up on top of Mount Washington on a mildly winter day of 100 mile an hour winds and slitting open a pillow and all the feathers go. And there goes your words. And you know what? They produce. And I laughingly said, "My God, I need to pray and ask God for a crop failure, because I don't want some of that stuff coming to fruit." And so, if we do this every few years, it'll help us. All right, Satan's the high priest over words of doubt and unbelief, and he's listening, basically, for us to open our mouths and just start speaking these things, so that he can gain access to give himself and his demonic helpers an opportunity to bring those words to pass. There's a funny side, but there's a serious side. And so I like to contrast the two so that you can clearly see how important our words are. Speaking words of doubt and unbelief. This is what happens. We'll bind God and his angels. Prevent his angels and prevent God from intervening if all we're going to speak is doubt and unbelief. Speaking these words of similar phrases actually gives Satan and demons permission. Not from God, we gave him permission to operate against us. Examples of agreeing with the devil. Oh, this is how we're going to close today. It's so edifying. I tried it and it didn't work for me. It's getting worse. I prayed and it didn't work out. I'll never get ahead. I'll never get these debts paid. Oh boy, I'll tell you, Faith and I learned, and we have not done that in a long time, but we have done it from time to time when, you know, your monthlies come in and you get your bills that you got to pay, and you don't want to open your mouth and say, "Boy, I just don't know where that money's going to come from if God is our provider," okay? We've laid hands on them and thank God in advance for any bills that come in, because he's our provider. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And he's the one that's going to make sure, for your sake, that those things get paid for. Those are the needful things. And we have to have an unwavering trust in that. It doesn't matter what it looks like today. In Christ, we always have a tomorrow. In the beginning, when we first planted this church, there were times when I thought we were going to put a close sign on the front door, and then the Monday morning came, and everything turned around. And we've learned as a fellowship, it gets lean and mean cuisine sometimes. In the beginning, there were long periods of time that happened. But we didn't make the mistake of saying stuff like this. Even though that was a true statement, we didn't want to give the enemy a foothold in the realm of our finances. "I'll never have the money to make the car payment." "Oh, would you like me to call the tow truck? What day would you like them to come and pick it up?" See, that's the Rick Smart Aleck in my mind. That's my answer that I'd like to say, but I have wisdom enough not to. But think about that. "I'll never." That doesn't give God any room to operate at all. "I'll never have the money to make the car payment." "Well, I'll be happy to call the wrecker for you." You know, and then they take it away and you go running down the road screaming at the truck driver. He had nothing to do with it. You spoke it into resistance. You believed that you weren't going to have the money to pay for it. So why not let the dealer reclaim it and sell it to somebody that will? This is just logical things. You just watch. We'll lose our car. And there they go down the road with it. I knew that was going to happen. Oh, it's flu season. I always get it. I've never had it, ever. And I'm not laying claim to expecting any. We've learned to put boundaries on our mouths. James said, "No man can tame of the tongue." And I really am coming to learn what he meant. My kids are always acting up. Well, they go to school and the school sends notes home. wow, should we take your kids for a while? Maybe we could do a better job with them. And you wonder why. And you search your words and see what you've spoken over your children. And you'll come to realize that there's a lot of things that were spoken that shouldn't have been. Even in Christian homes and Christian families. This is where we got to tighten up. You know, we learned what God had to say about our kids and we spoke those words over them instead. Because it's always a choice. My husband or my wife will never change. Well, it ain't my job to change her. Duh. Here's a real short one. I'm afraid so. Told you we were going to have some fun with these, you know. But they get you here, you know. I hope so, but faith says I have it. I have it before I see it because God said it was there, and by faith, I stand in faith and believe that it will come into existence. Why? Because it's a promise in His Word. That just tickles me to death. Can you imagine what a long, torturous process that would be? You start gasping and your face is turning gray, but you're not dead yet. I'll tickle you some more. You know? I mean, just imagine putting meat on the bones here, these words, and what happens? Shall I continue? This is very entertaining. That scares me to death.
That would be worse.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, tickling, at least it might be enjoyable until you run out of breath. That really kills me. Well, how many times can you do it then? You better not. Once it's the fatal dose, that's, you've got enough, like fentanyl. My back is killing me. Uh-oh, I heard somebody say, uh-oh. What was this weapon of choice?
Jesus.
No, if you say my back is killing me, it's like you're saying to people, you're telling them that your back is killing you. So I said, what's its method of choice? What is its weapon of choice to be able to kill you? See, it's when we say stuff, we're cursing ourselves, really. And we're standing in the way of being healed. That's the flip side of these words. Take care. We talked about that. That's number 17. Number 18, I'll never amount to anything. Oh, I was told that by my father for years. And I had an older brother that believed it, and he never amounted to anything. Because he kept saying that. And he got those words from our dad, and they were spoken over us as children. And all through the years growing up in the home, that concept was always in our forethoughts. My brother believed that. He died in early life, but he just always believed that. And he spoke that over his own life. He got it from his dad. I'm too tired to go to church. I don't want to hear that because what we do is we just give you two or three chairs, and if you want to take a nap, go ahead. I don't got a problem with that. But at least come so the spirit can deal with your spirit. I'll admit they're not as comfortable as your whatever, but here's one. When your kids are a little older, he'll fall off his bike and break his neck. Oh. Kids go to school next week and they get a cast around. They're like, what happened? I fell off my bike and I broke my neck. Rollerblades. Yep, he'll fall and break his arm or his leg. Remember when your kids were into rollerblades? And what did parents say?
Don't come balling to me.
Yeah. See that? That's for you. Here's one. The devil's been after me all week. I said, wow, you had discernment. You realized who it was. If you gave him a whole week, why didn't you stop him? Let him run roughshod over your life. Boom, shakalaka, boom, boom. He, the devil, comes and fouls up everything. Well, I read my Bible. He's actually called the fowler. Did you ever read that in the Word? The devil's called the fowler. He's called the tempter. So quit blaming God when you're tempted. It's not God tempting you. It's the tempter. He's written by name, even by Jesus' own mouth. And then here's one I heard. I won't say who the person is or was, but one of his favorite sayings was, "Oh, good grief." It's not really a lot of good in grief. But anyway, that's my list. Oh, there's certainly more.
It's on the list from last time.
Oh, what do you got? What?
I'm sweating to death.
Oh. I'm up for contributions in the speech department because we can share them together, but we can glean out of those things, you know, the things that we should say versus the things we shouldn't, and see if maybe this week you can pick one off that list and put it on your refrigerator door.
Can I tell you what it's always bothered me?
Yeah.
Break a leg.
Oh. Thank you. Yes. See, I knew I didn't have everything. That's why we come together, because you're all a part of it. These are good. They're healthy for us. Okay. Next week we'll look at Psalm 119:89 and 1 Peter 5:8. Short and sweet, but right to the point.